Welcome to the Edward Woodson Show, shining a spotlight on the media minions and redistributing the truth. And now, here's your fair share of the truth, brought to you by your host, Edward Woodson.
Welcome to the show, everyone. Welcome. I'm glad you're with me today to get a little truth redistributed to you all. All right. Yesterday, more Trump awesomeness. So yesterday, Donald Trump basically put one over on the DNC. I'm not. The RNC, which is indistinguishable from the DNC.
That was truer words than ever been spoken.
That was a Freudian slip if I've ever done one. He puts one over on the RNC as well as the media all at once. More Trump awesomeness. Okay. And by the way, and I'm going to talk about this later, but just think about this. Patriotism is now nativism. Just hold that thought. All right, so yesterday, Trump, the GOP has, and all the pundits have talked about this third-party run, right? Oh, well, Donald Trump needs to sign a pledge, right? You know. So yesterday, the GOP came up with this pledge that Donald Trump should sign, and he agreed to sign it. And it was just a stroke of genius on so many levels, and I'm going to discuss that. But he starts out by saying, he uses the Pledge of Allegiance, okay? So he says, I will be totally pledging my allegiance to the Republican Party and the conservative principles for which it stands. He said this at a news conference at, of course, Trump Tower, because that's where he gives all his press conferences. Apparently, he had a meeting the night before with Reince Priebus. Because the GOP, the RNC has been freaking out about the prospect that Donald will leave and will run as a third-party candidate. So here's why it's a stroke of genius, okay? On so many levels. Number one, he takes away the talking point for all the Republican establishment guys, all the Charles Krautheimers, the George Wills, the Byron Yorks, David Brooks, all these establishment guys that can't stand him, that have been saying, well, he's going to destroy the party. He's going to run as a third party candidate. He's going to leave and run as an independent. So he destroys that talking point. That talking point is now gone. Although this morning, I'm listening to dumbass Joe Gomez on Jimmy Cephalo as I'm driving in here. And he's saying, well, we don't know if he's going to run as a third party. Dude, he just said he's not going to run as a third party. He just said he's going to run as a Republican. And why would he? Because he now leads in the poll. And I'm going to talk about that. He's got it's 2 months now. He's solidly in place. Number one in the polls for two straight months. Okay? That's never – I mean, he's not a flash in the pan. He's not going away. So, number one, this takes away that talking point of all his opponents within the Republican Party. And here's another thing it does. It forces the other candidates now to support Donald Trump, because now they have to sign this loyalty oath. So now they're going to have to say, well, I will eventually support Donald Trump if he's the nominee. They can't say anything else because they have to sign this pledge as well. So it is a stroke of genius. And thirdly, He had a press conference in the middle of the afternoon yesterday, and every single network had to sit there and go to the press conference. No other candidate had a press conference to discuss the fact that they're signing this loyalty oath. And by the way, the loyalty oath means absolutely nothing because it's not legally binding. It means absolutely nothing. So it was like a gimme. So, of course, he turned it into positive spin for him. It was a stroke of genius. You know what it was? A Trumpgasm. That's what yesterday was. Yet another one. And they're scrambling around going. What was really interesting about it, this is the best part about it as well. And if you watched this, I don't know if you caught this. He said, look, I am not beholden to anyone. No one is paying for me. I am not taking any donations from any big money people. And what he said was, and this is very telling, he said, Jeb Bush and the other candidates are going to come after me with the negative ads. They're coming. Get ready. And just remember, when they do, all those negative ads are being paid for. They're bought and paid for by people that are seeking to influence the other candidates. And I'm not influenced by anybody. That was the most powerful thing about it. So he turned this into this whole press conference all about himself. It was just amazing. I mean, it really was. And he's getting better and better and better. And, of course, all the pundits are dumbfounded by it. They can't believe it. But here was one of the best parts about it. He was asked about Kanye West. Listen to his response. This is why he's such a great guy.
Kanye West, you know what? I'll never say bad about him. You know why? Because he loves Trump. He loves Trump. He goes around saying, Trump is my all-time hero. He says it to everybody. So Kanye West, I love him. Now, maybe in a few years I'll have to run against him. I don't know. So I'll take that back. But you know what? He's been so nice to me. I sort of, you people have sort of seen, because I've been a counterpuncher. I only hit people when they hit me. Only. And Kanye West has been so great. I would never say bad about him because he says such nice things about me.
Dude, how can you not love that? And I'm going to tell you one thing. Kanye West loving Donald Trump, here's why that's important. Because Donald Trump is pimp. Donald Trump transcends everything in politics. And call it what you will, whether it's the name recognition, the fact that, he's been belittled as, oh, he's a reality star. No, he's not a reality star, although he is one. He's a businessman. He's a smart guy. You look at the Manhattan skyline and look at the effect that he's had on it. To say he's a reality star diminishes him. But here's the thing. You're going to have people that go into the booth that are just going to vote for him on sheer name recognition alone. And isn't that what the Republican Party's wanted? They've wanted the big tent guy. Now they have the big tent guy. And they hate him.
Yeah, but it's not their big tent guy.
Right. They hate him. They hate him. All the dorks that revolve around the dork sun, which is D.C., they can't stand him. Chris Satterwhele and Guy Benson and Charles Krautheimer. Charles Krautheimer still. I'm telling you, if I see the guy in D.C., I'm going to just, you'll see it on the news. I'm going to take him and throw him off his wheelchair. You can't say enough about how he has just played the media and played the establishment. I mean, it really is just amazing. So now we've got new poll numbers out. New poll numbers out. This is from Monmouth. Okay? This is the latest national poll came out yesterday. He's at 30% now. 30% now. I mean, that is just stunning.
Oh, really?
30%. This is national. He is, the next closest one is 18% with Ben Carson. And you can't find two more different people. And then
all right.
You've got Jeb at 8%. Marco at 5%. Chris Christie, John Kasich, Rand Paul, 2%. When are these guys going to give it up? You know? Give it up. Go home. You're going to lose. We've got Ellen Ratner from Talk Radio News out of Washington. Ellen, did you watch the press conference yesterday?
I did not, actually. I was traveling.
Why? You should be watching that. That's what's going on.
Darling, I read transcripts. I tend not to watch.
Transcripts don't do it justice of the Trump awesomeness. He has just, you know what? You know what's so great about it is how he has played both the mainstream media and the establishment.
Well, you know, my brother, who's a developer like Donald Trump, says Donald Trump is very, very smart. And for my brother to call anybody very smart is shocking.
Yeah, you know, that's why I heard somebody the other day go, oh, he's stupid. He's dumb. I'm like, really? He's smarter than you. He's done more than you. What have you done? It's like when you say that, like to diminish him and to call him, for instance, you know, they've tried to marginalize him by saying, oh, he's a reality star. Remember, long before he was a reality star, he's a successful developer in New York. Okay. But what it's really amazing how he has been able to, bridge this gap. Here's a guy that's a billionaire, but yet he's the man of the people. He's considered a man of the people. It's really stunning. And now you've got him comfortably in the lead in most every single poll, And he's been in the lead now for 2 months. He's not a flash in the pan. He's not going to go away. I said that from the very beginning. I think.
If I were advising Donald Trump, and he
thank
hasn't
God
asked
you're
me
not.
For my
thank
advice.
God you're not. But go ahead.
I would tell him he's got to know world leaders' name. This is actually what got, even though he won for president, George W. Bush in trouble, is that he didn't know some leaders' names. Now, I know you think that that doesn't make a long difference in terms of the election, and it may not.
What are you referring to exactly?
He didn't know Hezbollah and all that.
Do you?
No, I don't. Of course not.
Well, there you go.
I'm not running for president,
okay,
my friend.
I know you're referring to Hugh Hewitt, because, of course, Hugh Hewitt is a shill for the Republican establishment. Okay. Hugh Hewitt tried to get him with some gotcha. Those are gotcha questions, and everybody knows that in media, okay? To ask him, what's the difference between Hezbollah and Hamas? I mean, come on. Really? I mean, nobody cares
about
that.
I wouldn't ask those questions. You wouldn't ask those questions, but hey.
Nobody cares about that. The only people that care about those questions are people like Charles Krautheimer and Hugh Hewitt. And George Will. Outside of that, nobody cares because nobody else knows the difference either. So that is that's such a non-issue. You know what they care about? They care about whether or not he likes Kanye West. That's what they care. Seriously, that's what they care about. They don't care about that, Ellen. Just like they didn't care that he didn't show up at New Hampshire for the thing that you told me was going to hurt him, that nobody even knows what you're talking about. Okay? Stop. You know what? Stop being an inside the beltway person.
I'm just saying, look.
That's one of the things I love about you, that you're not. So don't buy into that Hugh.
No, but you know what? It would take him about 10 minutes to get a little tutorial.
So he'll get it when he needs it. Again, you know, this reminds me of, Ronald Reagan, how everybody said he was a dummy and he didn't know anything. And Ronald Reagan spoke in platitudes all the time, but he surrounded himself with smart people. And it turned out okay, didn't it? So I just think that the Trump thing moves on. And I don't think there's...
Listen, I, you know, it was interesting. I was with some people who supposedly know these kinds of things, and they say, well, Nate Silver says Trump only has a 2%. No, I think Trump could be president. Well, you and I agree on that.
No, and none of those people that are experts know anything. Go talk to the guy, the janitor that works in Harlem, and ask him what he thinks about Trump. And
I have.
The expert. He loves that guy.
Exactly.
Loves Donald Trump.
No, I don't. Hey, listen, I do not disagree.
No, I
with
know.
You.
I know you do. I know you do. I know you. You got it. That's one of the things I like about you, Ellen, is that you're not.
And I think anybody who doesn't think Donald Trump is going to be president is right out of their mind. I think there's a very good chance he's going to be president.
I think so. God bless. All right, Ellen, I got to run, but have a great weekend.
You do. You too. Happy Labor Day.
You too. Thank you. We'll be right back.
I have decided in 2020 to run for president.
Don't touch that dial. Back in a moment with Edward Woodson.
Bloomberg reports cash under the mattress is now considered safer than inside a bank. That's right. On November 20th, G20 leaders, including President Obama, voted to enact new banking laws replacing taxpayer bailouts with what's called bank bail-ins. Sounds good, right? Wrong. The fine print of this new bail-in legal doctrine states that your money deposited in bank savings, CDs, or money market funds can be confiscated or converted into bank shares of uncertain value. Oh yeah, I've been warning you about this risk all year on my show. The authors of Don't Bank on It just released a new white paper entitled After the G20. It's free by calling 800-519-6271. 800-519-6271. Discover why your dollars in banks just became dollars at risk. Call 800-519-6271. 800-519-6271 or at edwardwoodson.com.
Do you ever wonder if there's more to God than what's taught on Sunday in a sermon? Join us for a discussion about faith, miracles, the supernatural, and more on Praying Medic Live, Thursday night at 8 o'clock on Independent Talk 1100 KFNX.
He's still so mad. Now, back to your host, Edward Woodson.
So Jeb Bush has been punching back. He started it, actually. He's been stepping up the attacks against the Donald, right? Here's why that loyalty oath thing is so great. Because now Jeb Bush, and I was thinking this yesterday, George Stephanopoulos asked Jeb Bush if he would sign the loyalty oath.
Governor Bush, thanks for joining us this morning. We just showed that tweet from your campaign manager. Is that what you think, that Donald Trump is a one-man mission to kill the GOP?
I think Donald Trump is trying to insult his way to the presidency, and it's not going to work. People want an uplifting, hopeful message. People come to this country to pursue their dreams. Sometimes they start without speaking English, but they learn English, and they add vitality to our country. And the fact that he would say you only can speak English is kind of ridiculous if you think about it. Are we going to close all the foreign language classes? Why would he have a contract with Univision for his beauty pageant? I mean, this is a diverse country. We should celebrate that diversity and embrace a set of shared values. And Mr. Trump doesn't believe in those shared values. He wants to tear us down. He doesn't believe in tolerance. He doesn't believe in the things that have created the greatness of this country.
You know, this is also personal for you. Of course, your wife, Columba, comes from Mexico. What was your first thought when you heard him criticize you for speaking Spanish?
I laughed. I mean, this is a joke. I was in a press gaggle where people asked me a question in Spanish, and I answered it in Spanish. I was in a classroom 2 days ago, La Progresiva High School, where these young, beautiful kids all speak English, but they also speak Spanish. And one of them asked me a question in Spanish. I answered it. That's the reality of America. That's the goodness of America. That's the kind of America we want. So part of it is you'd laugh because it's so bizarre, but it's hurtful for a lot of people. And Mr. Trump knows this. He's appealing to people's angst and their fears rather than their higher hopes.
Well, he's also called you low energy, a stiff, says you're a joke on immigration. The last thing we need is another Bush. Why do you think he's out to get you?
Because you suck.
I think he's out to get everybody. He doesn't have a set of plans. If he had to actually do the traditional thing, which is, here's my policy as it relates to immigration, this policy is not serious. It would cost hundreds of billions of dollars. It's probably unconstitutional. It violates civil liberties. If he had to actually debate the points on taxes and regulation, people would be surprised that he is a liberal in many of these views. The express views he has on taxes, on health care, are views that are more closely similar to those of Hillary Clinton.
You know, the chairman of the RNC, Reince Priebus, is now circulating a loyalty pledge among all the candidates. Mr. Trump told me yesterday he'd support you over Hillary Clinton if you get the nomination. Would you support him?
Yeah, I would, of course. Of course,
no
I would. We need to be unified.
Bam! So he's got to sign that loyalty oath, too. But that's why it's just a stroke of genius. But here's the thing. I want to discuss this issue of the Trump called him out about speaking Spanish. Look, I'm bilingual as well. I grew up speaking Spanish. Okay?
Let's hear a little.
Okay. El amor no tiene porte. Yo lo quiero sin cesar. Okay. So here's the deal. You know, I don't have a problem with what he said. See, now, this is what the media is saying now. Patriotism is now nativism. Nativism is a bad thing. It's a bad thing. Okay, again, a lot of people don't understand Spanish. They don't speak Spanish. You're running for president. Did you understand what he was saying,
no,
Steve?
No, I don't speak Spanish, even though I've lived in South Florida since the late 50s.
Well, when you came here, it was all a bunch of crackers, anyway.
Yeah, but the early 60s arrived, and so did the first wave of Cubans.
Correct. Now, here's the thing. Again, you know, you're running for president. He's clearly pandering, Jeb Bush, to his crowd. He's pandering. Okay, and what Donald Trump said was, and again, he's just joking around. He says, you know, speak English, but then he made the point of, it's about assimilation, and that's why this country is so great, because it's about assimilation. Okay, and the early immigrants were about assimilation. My mother was about assimilation. That's why she named me Edward Woodson. Okay. That's why.
Well, that's the way it used to be, you know, when immigrants from whatever country they came from and obviously spoke in their mother tongue, they came, they wanted to be assimilated. They wanted to learn English and to become part of the society, the culture.
Exactly. And that's what he's talking about. That's what Donald Trump is talking about. So now patriotism is nativism. Okay. And I spoke Spanish at home, and then I left home, and then I went to school, and I spoke English all day, and then I came back home, and I spoke Spanish. I still speak Spanish when I go back to D.C. to visit my aunt, who's now 91 years old, doesn't support amnesty, can't stand George Ramos, but that's a whole other story. So this is what he's talking about. This is what Donald Trump is talking about. And for Jeb Bush to say this, Jeb Bush is, and when you watch Jeb Bush, he's the guy that was given the atomic wedgie, okay, and hung on the bathroom door in the boys' bathroom, okay?
Very well put, I can see that.
That's Jeb Bush, okay? Jeb Bush couldn't even get an American wife, so he had to marry a Mexican.
Boom.
Yeah, and that's why this is a lot of the Trump thing is just envy. It's the same thing about Tom Brady, which I'll get to later in the show. People that you know, a lot of this is envy because Donald Trump is rich, and he's just always had hot babes, and it's envy. You think Jeb Bush could snag Donald Trump's wife? No. This is like, he's Fonzie, he's the cool guy, comes in and takes your girlfriend. That's what's going on here with Jeb Bush and Donald Trump. That's why Jeb Bush doesn't like him. That's exactly why. Just awesomeness. So, now patriotism is nativism. Nativism is apparently a bad thing. It's apparently a bad thing. Nativism is a bad thing. So now this was interesting. They couple things going on with Hillary Clinton. A hacker yesterday, this Radar Online, reported that a hacker has a treasure trove of Hillary Clinton's emails and is willing to sell them for $500,000 or the highest bidder. This anonymous computer specialist, i.e. hacker, claims to be in possession of 32,000 emails from Clinton's private server. And he's willing to sell them to the highest bidder. You knew this was coming. This on the heels of, I spoke about this yesterday, Clinton's aide, who set this up, this private server, is going to plead the fifth. Okay? But the best part about this story, this guy Pagliano, which nobody's reporting, the Daily Mail, I saw this morning. Apparently, you're going to love this. The private email server was paid with taxpayer dollars. So she set up an illegal private server paid for by the taxpayers.
Does that really surprise you?
And now he's going to plead the fifth.
Did you see where she came out? Just going to turn a bit of a subject corner here, but Hillary came out yesterday and tweeted on this whole Kentucky clerk gay marriage situation, you know, the contempt of court.
Well, you know, obviously she's going to do that, and she's going
to,
you know.
Yeah, but here's the tweet. Here's a direct quote. Quote, "Officials should be held to their duty to uphold the law. End of story." Close quote.
Except for me. Again, that's the Clinton way, you know. They're too good for the law. The law doesn't apply to the Clintons. We know that. Come on, Steve. That's for the rubes. But the Clinton spokesman yesterday, this guy, his name is Brian Fallon, was asked whether or not they wiped the server clean, and he said, "I don't know what that means." Here is Brian Fallon yesterday with Breonna Keeler on CNN. Okay. Oh, man, I love this. Never mind. You see, I set this thing up, and then, of course, you know, when I go to play it, it doesn't play. And forgive me for that, because that's just technological. And not my fault. But anyway, this guy, this spokesman says, "I don't know what wiped means." Like, he doesn't know what wiped means. Doesn't know. Has no idea what wiped means. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I have no idea what that means. Listen to this gobbledygook.
Here today before the House Select Committee on Benghazi, that would be Cheryl Mills. She was expected to face questions about Clinton's emails. And this was during a closed-door session there on Capitol Hill. Another former aide, an IT aide, however, this man has indicated he's not going to answer questions. He will instead plead the Fifth Amendment. This is Brian Pagliano. He's a former IT staffer. He helped with the private email server that Clinton used, as well as with her email account, a private email account. Joining me now to talk about this from New York is Brian Fallon. He is the press secretary for Hillary for America. Thanks for being with us, Brian. Really appreciate it. And I do want to read a statement from Nick Merrill. This is Secretary Clinton's traveling press secretary. And Nick said...
All right, I got to take a break.
Yeah,
I
get to the question.
I know. I'll be right back. I'm so sorry. I'll be right back.
I recently launched a Snapchat account. Those messages disappear all by themselves.
Don't touch that dial. Back in a moment with Edward Woodson.
The county clerk who refused marriage licenses to same-sex couples is in jail. Correspondent Steve Kastenbaum reports supporters of Kim Gayle and those who are against her have turned out in protest.
Many demonstrators came out to support Davis at the courthouse. Others called for her removal. But she can't be fired from the office she was elected to. She can only be impeached.
Well, this morning, one of Gayle's deputy clerks issued the county's first gay marriage license. The recent death of Vice President Joe Biden's son is one of the most important factors in his decision on whether to make a run for the White House.
The most relevant factor in my decision is whether my family and I have the emotional energy to run.
King Salman of Saudi Arabia is meeting with President Obama. The visit comes as both Congress and the Saudis debate the proposed nuclear deal with Iran. Some traders think the Dow could drop 200 points today. Futures are down right now. I'm Evan Haining.
Do you want to learn how to steal customer credit card information from major retailers so you can buy anything you want?
Well, we can't help you with that. But among the many IT problems we solve, Barracuda's award-winning firewalls prevent hackers from taking your valuable data to the bank. Reclaim your network like 150,000 other businesses have. To learn more about protecting customer data and your reputation, visit Barracuda.com/firewalls.
This is Charles Osgood. There are a lot of complicated things in life, rocket science, taxes, and tying a bow tie. But insurance does not have to be one of those complicated things. Your local independent agency representing auto owners insurance will sit down and customize a plan just for you. So instead of trying to muddle through it all online yourself, contact your local independent auto owners agency. Find your local independent agent at autoowners.com. That's autoowners.com. Auto owners insurance, the no problem people.
Arizona News Radio. More storm activity in the central and southern deserts Thursday. At least 3,000 homes left without power after a round of powerful winds moved through the Phoenix area. After being closed for 3 days because of storm damage, the Phoenix Zoo reopens this morning.
We are so excited to open up on Friday to the public, and I say that some of our exhibits have received an extreme home makeover.
And Hardwick at the zoo says it's the first time in its 53-year history it's had to shut its doors to visitors because of storm damage. VA Hospital in Phoenix still dealing with storm damage to some 60 rooms.
We're taking walls off in a couple of rooms to see how the water water intrusion happened.
Hospital's Gene Schaefer says contractors are looking out for mold. The longest bus strike in Tucson is entering its 30th day. Protesters are riding the buses without Fang. U of A wins its season-opening football game 42-32 over Texas San Antonio. Geico weather, more storm activity a possibility. Jeff Scott, Arizona News.
This check of York Haven X traffic and service of Unbound. Out in Goodyear, we have a wreck in the clearing stages westbound I-10. West of Arada Way, that's going to create some slowing as you head in town. 75th Avenue through 59th. Also look for a collision, 32nd Street at Osborne. At Unbound, they don't see poverty, they see potential. That's just one way Unbound is different. Learn more at unbound.org. That's unbound.org. Here's a look at your Friday forecast.
From the KFNX Weatherbug Weather Center, for the rest of the morning, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, low near 75. For the rest of the morning, chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, high near 96. Tonight, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, low near 78. Saturday, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly sunny, high near 98. I'm Ron Pritchard from the KFNX Weatherbug Weather Center.
Currently here in Midtown, we are at 77 degrees. Our next news will be in 30 minutes or when it breaks. Coming up, more from the Edward Woodson Show. You're listening to Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX. I'm Chet Reynolds, and you're up to date.
The risks to your money have never been greater. Don't Bank on It is a hot new book which exposes 20 major risks. Here's the first three shocking risks covered in the book. Under current law, you don't own your bank account. Your deposits are an unsecured asset belonging to the bank. What you own is an IOU. The FDIC only has enough reserves to cover 7% of total deposits. 7%. Today, cyber criminals can instantly steal your savings, identity, and credit. No wonder so many Americans have begun hoarding cash and gold. What more can you do to save your life savings? Call 1-800-519-6271. 800-519-6271 now to request a free copy of Don't Bank on It. At $20 value, free. Don't wait. Do it now. Call 800-519-6271, 1-800-519-6271, or at edwardwoodson.com.
He's still so mad. Now, back to your host, Edward Woodson.
All right, here's the exchange between Brianna Keller and the spokesperson for Hillary Clinton. Listen to this gobbledygook.
He's made every effort to answer questions and be as helpful as possible and has encouraged her aides, current and former, to do the same. That includes Brian Pagliano. So why is he disregarding that encouragement, do you think?
Well, he's not a part of the campaign. He's a private citizen. And so we can't... require him to do anything. He's represented by his own lawyer.
It's not our fault.
All we can do is give the same advice and recommendation and encouragement as Hillary Clinton has done with all of her aides, current and former. Mm-hmm. You mentioned Cheryl Mills. She's testifying at a long session today with the Benghazi Committee. Jake Sullivan, her former deputy chief of staff from the State Department, is testifying tomorrow. She's personally testifying herself in October. I believe there'll probably be other aides that come forward and are willing to answer questions. So in every instance so far, she's encouraged everyone to cooperate because we want to make every good faith effort to be transparent and answer any questions people have. But with Mr. Pagliano, we encouraged him as well because we don't think he has any reason to not be transparent about the help that he provided from an IT perspective.
He's got nothing to hide.
Unfortunately, it's his choice what to do. And I think that I can't speak for him, but I can only speculate and from the words that have leaked out from the letter that his attorney sent to Capitol Hill, it suggests that he was afraid of being caught in a partisan swirl that now consumes three different committees on Capitol Hill where Republicans are...
It's a right-wing conspiracy. And here to discuss this is Mike Opelka from The Blaze. Mike, how are you?
I'm good. How are you, Edward?
Good. Let me just read to you this real quick. This is Joseph DeGeneva. You remember Joseph DeGeneva? He was the U.S. attorney in D.C. Years ago. He says, obviously, if he's not going to cooperate, all of these people who were on her email were all going to get subpoenas now. It is fairly abundant that the setting up of the server, unencrypted, without State Department input, was done serendipitously. And this gentleman who was part of that process should be criminally exposed for violating the espionage statutes, especially for the grossly negligent handling of classified information, which is a 10-year felony. I suspect that's why he is going to plead the fifth.
Well, either that or he was offered the Vince Foster meeting in the park by the Clintons. You know, so this, it's a lot of speculation about this. His lawyer, and I'm sure it, were you his lawyer, you would advise him to do the same.
Absolutely, absolutely. But the fact is, look, and I don't fault him for pleading the fifth. If you're his lawyer, you would tell him that. Absolutely correct. However, the reason why you plead the fifth is because you don't want to incriminate yourself from possible illegality, and that's why you plead the fifth. Let's be honest. And from a public opinion standpoint, it looks bad.
It looks really bad. It looks very bad. It just certainly doesn't help her. But I guess they looked at the Lois Lerner example. Because here's a woman who was allowed to plead the fifth. She's still living in her multi-million dollar home, collecting a gigantic pension that we all paid for, despite the fact that we now know there was incredible amounts of obvious bad stuff happening at the IRS attacking conservatives, and yet she's scot-free. So why shouldn't anyone else involved in this receive similar treatment if they plead the fifth?
No, I agree, except for one thing. I think that they're going to squeeze everyone around her, I think.
Well, they have... You know, we had the same thing with the Chris Christie Bridgegate thing. They squeezed everybody. And Christie basically dodged whatever people believed happened there. Now, I don't know how much involvement was there, but
it hurt him. It hurt him.
It did.
Get that in the polls. And so she's, again, I don't see how she gets the nomination. I don't think she'll get the nomination.
Yeah, it seems less and less likely, especially when you see the vice president visiting your state, and then there are more plans. He's marching with Richard Trumka on Labor Day. So there's a big union deal happening there. So it looks more and more like Uncle Joe might be getting in the race, even though he sounded, pensive and tearful yesterday when he answered that question, saying, I just don't know yet.
Right. Well, you know, my sources are telling me that he's really just 50-50 right now, because he, you know, a lot of people, like last week, were saying that he's not going to run. Now it looks as though he will. I think he likes it. He likes being wanted.
Well, yeah, he loves the attention.
Yeah.
He's always loved the accolades and adulation that he received in public office. That's obvious. He loves being Joe Biden.
Yeah.
And why wouldn't you? I mean, gosh, look at his life.
Yeah. But, you know, there's no more insider establishment guy than Joe Biden. I mean, that's just so. I mean, I think with the mood of the voters right now, I don't see how he garners any support, really. And if you look at the last couple times that he ran, he was an abysmal failure. And I think that, with the mood of the voters now, and I think that's why you're seeing Bernie Sanders getting the juice he is, I think that he is such an inside the beltway, such a Washington establishment guy. I don't see how he's going to be able to present himself as this outsider, really. I mean, I don't see.
Well, did you see the, what was it up in Boston, the happy hour interview with Elizabeth Warren?
No, I did not.
She was with the Boston Globe. She was asked flat out, what did you and Biden talk about, and is there a presidential run? And she dodged every single question on this. And basically, you know, putting in the old legal adage, he who does not deny affirms. So she seems to be kind of hinting that there still is a chance that that ticket will be established. And I think that's his only strength, is if he comes in and pulls all the progressive votes of an Elizabeth Warren constituency into his camp, and that takes it all away from our buddy over there, Bernie Sanders.
Yeah, it's not going to really matter. They can do whatever they want to do, because they're going up against history, number one, and they're going up against the juggernaut that is Donald Trump. So I don't think it's really going to matter.
Well, and you're reading it this morning. His poll numbers in Alabama darn near 40%.
Yeah, I mean, what's amazing to me is these establishment people, these inside the beltway establishment people that have been marginalizing and vilifying Donald Trump. What are they going to do? I mean, really, Karl Rove is just, he's just circling down the drain. And all these people, this, you know, the Charles Krautheimers, the George Wills, Bret Stephens, I mean, all of these people, they are just, these experts are so wrong. They're just so wrong. They're on the wrong side of history.
I might be too, because I'm still a guy that thinks he's good for the process but won't be the president.
really.
And I know you're on the other side of it. I think he's great for the process.
But he won't be the president.
I'm just an
observer, a student of history, and I see that there's been nothing like this. The closest thing that I've ever seen in my lifetime was Ronald Reagan, and he was also equally vilified by the establishment in 1974 and 1976. And this is really nothing new. This is the country club, Rockefeller, Nixon establishments up against real conservatives like the Ronald Reagans and the Barry Goldwaters. And let's remember too, this criticism of Donald Trump being a Democrat. Ronald Reagan was a Democrat 4 years before he announced that he was running for governor of California. So none of this is going to matter because, Kanye West loves Donald Trump.
And apparently Donald loves him back.
Yeah. But I mean, no. But that points out to a larger issue, and that is, you go talk to the black janitor in Harlem, and he loves Donald Trump, and he's probably going to vote for him. So I think that the GOP has always been stressing this big tent. You know, we got to be part of the big tent.
Well, they didn't realize it was a circus tent with Trump.
Well, it's not a circus tent, and I think, again, you marginalize
it. I don't know how you can say it's not a circus tent. Did you watch the video in front of the building yesterday here in Manhattan?
Doesn't matter.
His security guard acted like stormtroopers, actually punching a protester.
Well, again, you can say that, and you can continue to say that.
And you can watch the video.
It doesn't matter.
It's not like I'm making something up here, Edward.
But Mike, he's not
running in the same way as a normal candidate would run.
Thank God.
So you're thanking God that this guy's stormtroopers beat up a guy who's a protester. I can't condone that.
Dude, you are on the wrong side of history, and we'll see. I'm just telling you, he's going to be the nominee, and I'm going to bet you a steak dinner that he's a nominee. What do you say?
Big steak dinner.
All right.
Now, we just have to know if it's down there at Prime whatever or up here at Sparks.
Whatever you want, man. Okay, if I win, you got to come down here, and if I lose, I'll come up there.
You got it.
Capital Grill.
No. Prime 112. He's right. All right, buddy. I love you.
Have a great weekend.
All right, man. Bye. We'll be right back.
You can't handle the truth.
Don't touch that dial. Back in a moment with Edward Woodson.
Bloomberg reports cash under the mattress is now considered safer than inside a bank. That's right. On November 20th, G20 leaders, including President Obama, voted to enact new banking laws replacing taxpayer bailouts with what's called bank bail-ins. Sounds good, right? Wrong. The fine print of this new bail-in legal doctrine states that your money deposited in bank savings, CDs, or money market funds can be confiscated or converted into bank shares of uncertain value. Oh yeah, I've been warning you about this risk all year on my show. The authors of Don't Bank on It just released a new white paper entitled After the G20. It's free by calling 800-519-6271. 800-519-6271. Discover why your dollars in banks just became dollars at risk. Call 800-519-6271. 800-519-6271 or at edwardwoodson.com.
Have you ever been one of those unhappy customers that walked away thinking, if I ran that business, I know what I'd do? Hello, I'm Joe Cordell of the law firm Cordell & Cordell. I felt that way years ago after my divorce, but I never did discard those ideas. And today, that vision forms the foundation of the firm that you know as Cordell & Cordell. And basically that vision was a divorce firm dedicated to serving men with a client-centered focus on the things that clients value most, such as attorney preparation, regular client updates, and same-day return calls. And in turn, this results-focused operating system would be monitored by a client care representative. The result, a truly interactive link between our performance and your satisfaction. By the way, unless you're in Missouri or Illinois, I'm not licensed in your state, but that's okay. Our attorneys in your state are.
Call Cordell & Cordell to schedule an appointment with one of our firm's Arizona attorneys. 602-995-6666. 7150 East Camelback Road, Suite 444, Scottsdale, Arizona, 85251.
Joseph Smith was called a prophet. Dum, 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 dum. He started the Mormon religion. Dum, 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 dum.
Joseph Smith.
You know, he claims he spoke with God and Jesus.
Well, how do you know he didn't?
Dum, 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 dum. Joseph Smith was called a prophet.
Hey, Joseph, I told my wife that you spoke with God and Jesus, and she didn't believe it.
Well, it's true. I did.
Where?
I was out in the woods praying. I was asking God if I should be a Protestant or a Catholic or what. And suddenly, God and Jesus appeared before me. And they said I should start my own church, because none of the others had it right. And that's exactly how it happened.
You see? You believe it now?
Well, yeah, sure. Why would he make that up?
Dum, 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 dum.
I think Michael Polk is drinking some of that Mormon juice. Okay? From Glenn Beck. You know, I don't understand. I honestly don't understand the blaze and how, you know, for years and years and years, Glenn Beck has talked about, you know, the establishment, Republicans, blah, 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 blah. And he hates Donald Trump. I don't get it. Like, who does he want to win the presidency? Does he, you know, what, Scott Walker? Who's got just a little touch of Downs, just a touch of Downs. Marco Rubio?
Why don't you ask Mike that?
Because, you know, he's going to dance around and say, they all have good things to say. I don't get it. I mean, again, it baffles me. And like I said before, he's Dave Chappelle, man. You know, drinking the Kool-Aid, I guess. I don't know. I mean, it's just, we all get it. I've got a caller from Miami, Jack, on the phone. Jack, thanks for calling the show, and thank you for listening.
How you doing, Edward?
Good.
I just want to point out how the mainstream media has been marginalizing the Tea Party for years.
Yes.
Calling them a bunch of racists and in the bag for the Koch brothers. And this election cycle proves that totally false. You know, Ben Carson is polling 18%, and Trump is not a Koch brother's favorite, is on top of the leaderboard.
No, you're absolutely right. And not only that, I also want to point out another thing. You know, again, they always talk about the Koch brothers. The Koch brothers are libertarians, you know? They always say the conservative Koch brothers. The Koch brothers support, for instance, gay marriage, and they support the legalization of marijuana. They support dropping sentencing guidelines. They're libertarian, and you're right. It's not just the mainstream media that has vilified the Tea Party. It is the Republican establishment that has vilified the Tea Party in the past. And the Tea Party was basically a fiscal deal. It was had nothing to do with being racism or you know, it just, it, again, the, it, you're right. It shows how you've got a Ben Carson, you got Donald Trump, who has embraced the base, and that's why they're doing well. You're absolutely right. And perhaps if the Republican establishment had embraced the Tea Party from the beginning, they wouldn't be where they are. They've done this to themselves. They've actually marginalized themselves, and that's why you've got a Donald Trump.
You know? You could put this on Dana and McConnell, what's going on right now.
Yeah, absolutely. There's no question. And the rest of the experts, okay, in Washington. Thanks for calling the show, and thank you for listening. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, real quick, Tom Brady. What did I say on the show? What did I say?
That he would play the first four games.
Exactly. And what happened yesterday? He got the
judge ruled in his favor.
They smacked down the NFL. They smacked them down. And I'm going to tell you right now, this is the exact same deal of why they hate Donald Trump. They hate Tom Brady. This is just, they hate him because he wins Super Bowls and because he has a hot wife and he's a winner and he's like Donald Trump. And that's why they hate him. That's why they hate him. This is all about envy and jealousy because all these dorks like, Roger Goodell. Roger Goodell, from the very beginning, they had it out for the New England Patriots. You know why? Because the New England Patriots, are excellent. Okay? And they represent excellence. And so they didn't like the fact that, they've, been successful. That, Tom Brady's successful. And so they, tried to, circumvent the rules, by manufacturing, I mean, and, you know, when you saw this on TV, Deflategate, it was such a big deal, Deflategate. It literally, you know, was the lead story some nights.
Well, I don't think the NFL has caught on yet, Edward, the fact that, football fans want to see, Tom Brady play. They don't want to see Roger Goodell play.
They don't care. Once again, they don't care. Again, it's the same thing, you know, it's like this is a microcosm really kind of what's happening in the election. It really is. It really is. People don't care. They like a winner. People love Tom Brady. People love Donald Trump. People hate Tom Brady for the same reason they hate Donald Trump. It's jealousy. It's envy. That's all it is. That's all it is. And so they trumped up this whole thing about Deflategate. They could have been playing with animal crackers as a ball. They would have won. I mean, come on. Like, it would have mattered. You know? I mean, really. This is just ridiculous. It is ridiculous. And so they were smacked down by the NFL, and now they need to just drop this because now they're saying the NFL is saying that they're going to appeal. From a PR standpoint, they need to just go away.
Yeah, at what point do the owners step up and go, okay, Goodell, that's enough?
Enough. And I think this is going to hurt Roger Goodell with the other owners because Robert Kraft is a very popular, he's a very powerful owner, and you got to just drop it. Football season's ready to go. The last preseason games, I think, were last night and tonight, and that's it. We're done.
Did you watch any of the games last night?
No, because the
a lot of good college games on last.
Good
night.
College games with the NFL. You know, they all play their scrubs. None of their starters played. So yeah, there were some good college games this weekend. College football kicks off
every day through Monday night.
There you go. All right, we're out of time for the day, but go check out the website edwardwoodson.com. That's edwardwoodson.com, and send me your friend requests. Also, like us on Facebook and follow me on Twitter at Ed Woodson Show. If you want to hear some more shows or past shows or you missed any of them, go to woodsonarchive.com. That's woodsonarchive.com. It is an honor and a privilege to be with you every day to give you your fair share of the truth because you're entitled to it. Good day, America. I'm out.
I'm using my own money. I'm not using the lobbyists. I'm not using donors. I don't care. I'm really rich.
Thank you for tuning in to the Edward Woodson Show, changing talk radio forever.
Hi, I'm Shelley LaPlante, realtor with HomeSmart. When I'm driving with my family or showing property to my clients, I need a dependable vehicle. And a dependable vehicle in Arizona means cold air conditioning. So I rely on National Automotive Repair to keep me and my two daughters' vehicles operating safely. I strive to be my client's realtor for life, and I know I have found the same with National Automotive Repair. Randy and his team have always been honest, dependable, and economical, and will be my auto repair shop for life. I trust National Automotive Repair to take care of me and my family, and I know you can trust them to take care of all of your vehicle needs as well.
Hi, I'm Randy from National Automotive Repair. National Automotive Repair has been in business since 1997, and I built this business on the basics of honesty and integrity. NAR is an independently owned Napa Auto Care Center. We are also an ASC Blue Seal of Excellence shop. We have always been rated A+ by the Better Business Bureau. Give us a call at 602-978-3278, 602-978-3278, or visit us at narepair.com.
Hi, my name is Faith. I have been in pain for 7 years. It started with a work-related injury, and I ended up with a herniated disc and nerve damage. I have been in pain for 7 years and tried many drugs and treatments. I have been taking morphine, Percodan, Percocet, hydrocodone, and seeing chiropractors, physical therapists, and medical doctors. Some things helped me for a while, but nothing brought lasting relief. Finally, I was treated by the clinic, incredibly pain-free, in Scottsdale.